Jesus wore. Oh, when he wore. When Jesus wore. He washed my sins away.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, on the road. We have a lot to share today, and I'd like to welcome all of you. We're going to start with the latest on health and nutrition, and it'll answer a lot of people's questions about why they don't get a good night's sleep. Then we're going to do a commentary. I have a commentary prepared, and I'm also going to be sharing some insights from Rob Boston from Alternet on the five founding fathers whose skepticism about Christianity would make them unelectable today. My guest in the second part of our program will be Kevin Shipp. Kevin is a former CIA officer who for 17 years specialized in counterintelligence, counterterrorism overseas, and espionage investigator searching for moles within the CIA. And during the Iran-Contra scandal, Kevin was a protective agent of the CIA director. In fact, he received outstanding meritorious citations and three exceptional performance awards and a medal for his services in high-risk operations. But Kevin's here to talk about an honest look at the systemic corruption of the entire shadow government, CIA, National Security Agency, etc. An insider speaks out. I think you'll find this interesting. I've also created a protocol today to show where the corporate Democrats, what are called the Blue Dog Democrats, that's the vast majority of Democrats in Congress, and the entire Republicans conference are all anti-Constitution, yet they all say they are pro-Constitution and patriotic. They are neither. My commentary will challenge those who say they believe in the Constitution because, in fact, right now, you would be hard put to find a single person that represents true progressive, pro-constitutional Bill of Rights in any capacity in the federal government. Think not? Wait till you hear my commentary. Also, if time permits, from Chris Hedges, the second sight of W.E. Du, well, there's two pronunciations, 19th century Du Bois, but he pronounced it Du Bois, and I'll talk about that. Because I remember when I first encountered his work, working up the Schoenberg Collection in County Cullen Library in Harlem for 6 years. So you see, we have a lot to share. Oh, and continuing my challenge to the legitimacy of Wikipedia on health and medical issues, I have Cheryl Atkinson, who will give a brilliant summation of how completely biased they are and how if they write something against you that's wrong, virtually impossible to have it corrected. Well, they're writing about a lot of people, wrong things, and these people are very good people. So I've taken upon myself, Richard Gale and myself, to challenge them and to challenge Facebook and Google and all the other major platforms that more often than not represent the government, the hidden agenda of the government, or the pharmaceutical interest. So you hear that today. And she was is a top reporter, has been for a long time, and we have not spoken, so this will be her own points of view. You can read mine by going to prn.fm. In fact, I hope you do go, because it's important you see how I've challenged the deep state on many of my original documentaries and broadcast, but here I challenge the skeptics and the anonymous people who will attack everything involving health. Chiropractic, I wrote an article on it. Also homeopathy, wrote an article in it. And how I think we now have 5 articles, and the next report's coming out next Monday. Powerful report, as you'll see. Go there and read them. And specifically, read the bio that they put up, not me, on Wikipedia. Take a look at it, and then read my point for point showing that every single thing they said in there is wrong and showing you the truth. It's important you have that information. And if they think that this is the end of it, they have no idea. I have 50 more articles coming at Wikipedia and its owner. And we're being polite. They're not. Let's begin. I know a lot of you have asked me about having trouble sleeping. You wake up in the middle of the night. Now, there's several things that go wrong. First and foremost is turn off your routers, unplug your televisions. Even if you turn it off, the electric is still going through there, and hence the pulse is still available. Keep digital clocks, those watches that you can read everything on. That's bringing pulsed electromagnetic pollution right into your body. Turn off your cell phone. Keep it away from you at least 8 feet. And don't eat anything that's going to stimulate energy or anabolic activity for 4 hours before going to sleep. But here's what is probably the most important. Light in the room. Even though your eyelids are closed, any light can penetrate the eyelid. And that stimulates the brain that somehow it's daylight. So according to Northwestern University School of Medicine, a preliminary result show that nighttime light exposure during sleep may affect metabolic function. That's important. Quote, our preliminary findings show that a single night of light exposure during sleep acutely impacts measures of insulin resistance. Light exposure overnight during sleep has been shown to disrupt sleep, but these data indicate that it may also have the potential to influence metabolism. That's not good. And that means that if you're diabetic, or if you have any of the insulin resistance problems, or pre-diabetic, it can only exacerbate it. So just, if you have any light in the room, just put one of those little soft iPads on. And that way, you don't have that problem. Now, talking about sleep, from Harvard Medical School and Brigham and Women's Hospital comes a new study about sleep health and yoga intervention delivered in low-income communities improve sleep. This was a pilot study, and results indicate that a sleep and yoga intervention has promising effects on improving sleep disturbance and sleep-related impairment and sleep health behaviors. Now, sleep problems are very common in low-income communities, yet often under-recognized and untreated, and are often related to sleep health behaviors like stress and adverse environmental conditions. And this research showed how effectively you could deliver deep, healthy sleep using yoga. Quote, we were encouraged to see large improvements in self-reported sleep quality and daytime functioning after the sleep hygiene and yoga interventions, despite the short intervention period in this pilot study. We found that many of our participants were not initially aware of some of the fundamental behaviors that comprise sleep hygiene or healthy sleep practices, but were pleased to see their openness to making changes to improve sleep and their enthusiasm for participating in yoga. So yoga improved a person's sleep, especially when they're in a neighborhood where it could be noisy, and in which case the body is awake, even though you may not be fully conscious. Every time there's noise, your body responds to it. From Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, published in the Progress in Cardiovascular Disease, they find that plant proteins, there's your brown rice, hemp, soy, the really good split pea, the good proteins, plus fiber and nuts, lower your cholesterol, improve your blood pressure. When knowing this is important, and they're suggesting that what they're calling a portfolio diet, which is a plant-based vegan diet that emphasizes cholesterol-lowering foods, like your tree nuts or peanuts throughout the day, that's good. Not a lot, 42 grams. That's about, you know, it's a little less than 2 ounces, plus 50 grams of plant protein. I would divide that into 25 in the morning, 25 in the late afternoon, and then 20 grams of fiber. I would say double that to 40, and then 2 grams of plant sterols, and that would be from your fruits. And this was a meta-analysis. They looked at a whole lot of studies and found you could drop your LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, by 17%, reducing total cholesterol, triglycerides, and systolic blood pressure, diastolic blood pressure, and C-reactive protein. It also helped reduce 10-year coronary heart disease by 13%. Quote, previous clinical studies have found strong evidence that a plant-based diet can improve heart health, and this study demonstrates that certain plant foods are especially effective for lowering cholesterol and boosting our overall cardiovascular health. Good. From the University of Illinois, how does alcohol influence the development of Alzheimer's disease? It does. I'll give you a little case history. A 47-year-old mother of two brought her parents to see me. She seemed very stressed, and she said that she had been gaining weight because she didn't have time to exercise, and she was eating a lot of stress comfort foods. What was the problem? Well, her father and mother were, mainly her mother, were showing signs of dementia, forgetting things, forgetting names, walking into a room, losing cognition, not knowing why to come in this room. And she was having to spend more time with them because they were forgetting to pay bills. And they were forgetting basic things like turning off the oven. And so when talking with them, neither one was overweight. He said, well, look, we live a pretty healthy lifestyle. And I don't think that this is a big deal. So I asked them to discuss their diet, and it was not a healthy diet. They confused being at normal weight with being healthy. That would be like saying, I'm fit, and therefore I'm healthy. No, you're fit, but that's completely separate from being healthy. It can contribute to health, but I can show you a lot of people who are fit and unhealthy. Think of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Think of Sylvester Stallone. Think of Jim Fix, the Olympic runner. Now, I ran with Jim. He was skinny as a rail, died of a heart attack. And when we had talked about other things besides training to keep a person healthy who was a long-distance runner, he was disinterested because, well, after all, he was very low body fat, healthy, but he wasn't. But he assumed because he was fit, he was healthy. Two different things. In any case, one of the things they did every day after playing golf was they'd have a martini. And you're looking at 60 to 80% alcohol. Now, every one of those drinks, just a single drink, is enough to kill 5 million cells in the body minimally and cause substantial and chronic inflammation. And it's one thing to kill neurons and cause snapping of the dendrites, the lines that go between the neurons that transmit messages, and you snap those each time you have alcohol. But it's another thing to set up a systemic inflammation in the brain itself. So your brain's always inflamed. And that's what I saw that was happening. So I suggested that they go off that diet completely that they were on and go on to a healthy plant-based diet and juices. And the guy looked at me and says, we're not going to do that. Look, a lot of our friends, we have friends who are doctors, and you know, they just said, eat everything in moderation, and that's what we do, we eat everything in moderation. I said, but the fact that you're eating something that's toxic doesn't make it any less toxic because you're eating in moderation, because it's cumulative. And he just, you know, gave me one of his patronizing comments and left. They're both now in assisted living centers, completely unable to take care of themselves. They're gone. Interesting, because the daughter had an opportunity to help them, because I was taking a month to work with family members who had people in their family, generally mothers and fathers, who had Alzheimer's or dementia, for a month. I figured if I could work with them for a month, then all the things that their caregivers, generally their kids, including some medical doctors who were there, who their mothers and fathers had dementia or Alzheimer's, then they could take that, the protocols, and take it home with them. And indeed, that's exactly what happened. This person came in 6 hours later, split. Why? Not because of the parent, because it wasn't something she was ready for. So you got to understand, when it comes to the brain, comes to alcohol, everything you do early in life, you pay for later. Binge drinking right now is the big thing on college campuses. They'll be over the drunkenness, the vomiting, within about 12 hours. The damage done will be there, and it'll come back to haunt them later. Stop smoking 20 years ago, still probably going to die of lung cancer. Unless we actively go in and detoxify and rejuvenate, then the damage is done. And it's like having a hole in your living room floor, so you put a big thick carpet over the hole. Sooner or later, you're going to fall through that hole. So that's what we're dealing with. So anyone who tells you that alcohol is okay, it's not. Anyone who tells you that you can have moderation in alcohol, you should have no moderation in anything that's toxic, including conversation or toxic people in your life. They all have the same impact. Next, probiotics in Ayurvedic medicine extend the life in this experiment. McGill University, an article published in Scientific Reports, documents an extension of lifespan of the fruit fly treated with probiotics in Ayurvedic medicine, which contains amla, A-M-L-A. That's the Indian gooseberry. And the researchers gave the flies one of three probiotics. The one that worked best was actually an Ayurvedic medicine, Triphala, T-R-I-P-H-A-L-A, and that was the best. Also, Lactobacillus was very good. Fermentium. So take your probiotics. Take vitamin C with, and just write this down so you have it. Amla. That's the Indian gooseberry. It's a little orange, little tart orange berry. When it's fresh, it's about the size of a small marble. It's orange, very shiny, and when you wash it, you can't, it's like there's no oil on it. There's not. It's just extremely slippery. But those are very good fresh when they're in season. But otherwise, they're extremely powerful in helping your body. Also, from the University of Maryland, new findings demonstrate how the food we eat affects our biochemical signals in the gut. For years, researchers have studied how the body's microbiome impacts virtually every aspect of human health, ranging from the immune system to mental wellness. Now, a recent study led by a multi-institutional research team, including University of Maryland and South Korea, Purdue University, etc., they published in Scientific Advances, and one of the first to link what we eat and the generation of glucose to a bacterial signaling process known as quorum sensing. And this process involves the synthesis of small signaling molecules, which are secreted by individual bacteria. Well, the takeaway short-term easy message is good food, good bacteria, good signaling. Bad food, bad bacteria, bad signaling. So even the signaling in your gut is controlled by the quality of the food you eat. And finally, from the University of Maine, a study showing that chocolate is good for your brain. That's right. And this was an important study. It didn't take much. Only about 2 ounces a day. So get an organic chocolate. And tomorrow I'll talk about red ginseng on cognition and how sweet cherry anthocyanins are good for your liver. I've got a lot to share tomorrow. Even some exercise mitigating genetic effects of obesity later in life. But right now we're going to take a break, come back, have a lot to share with you.
Skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
For all of you listening all over the world, we appreciate you coming on board every day. I realize not everyone can listen live. In fact, the vast majority of people are listening at the archives. And just so that everybody can get to the archives, and you can go to prn.fm, and that way you can see what you've missed. And I've given you that phone number. I hope you've written that phone number down many different times so you can listen live over the phone, any listening device, hardline phone, cell phones. And you can set it up in a cab or car and listen that way or download them. But let me give you that number just so you have it. If you want the archive number, you can download 5 shows at a time with one call. 701-719-9976. That's 701-719-9976. Let's say you want to listen live and you're not near your radio or an internet. You can call 424-203-8046. 424-203-8046. Or if you have a cell phone, go to the store on the cell phone and the app, prn.fm, crystal clear, and you can hear it as well. And we're now going to listen to award-winning journalist, highly respected journalist, who has done a lot of investigative reporting, and she doesn't have any sacred cows. If she sees that someone's doing something wrong, she reports on it. This is a former CBS reporter exposing media lies, internet, the trolls, and Cheryl Atkinson. Please listen.
So, consider this fictitious example that's inspired by real life. Say you're watching the news and you see a story about a new study on the cholesterol-lowering drug called Cholextra. The study says Cholextra is so effective that doctors should consider prescribing it to adults and even children who don't yet have high cholesterol. Is it too good to be true? You're smart. You decide to do some of your own research. You do a Google search. You consult social media, Facebook and Twitter. You look at Wikipedia, WebMD, a nonprofit website, and you read the original study in a peer-reviewed published medical journal. It all confirms how effective Cholextra is. You do run across a few negative comments and a potential link to cancer, but you dismiss that because medical experts call the cancer link a myth and say that those who think there is a link there are quacks and cranks and nuts. Finally, you learn that your own doctor recently attended a medical seminar. The lecture that he attended confirmed how effective Cholextra is, so he sends you off with some free samples and a prescription. You've really done your homework. But what if all isn't as it seems? What if the reality you found was false? A carefully constructed narrative by unseen special interests designed to manipulate your opinion. A Truman Show-esque alternate reality all around you. Complacency in the news media combined with incredibly powerful propaganda and publicity forces mean we sometimes get little of the truth. Special interests have unlimited time and money to figure out new ways to spin us while cloaking their role. Surreptitious astroturf methods are now more important to these interests than traditional lobbying of Congress. There's an entire industry built around it in Washington. What is AstroTurf? It's a perversion of grassroots, as in fake grassroots. AstroTurf is when political, corporate, or other special interests disguise themselves and publish blogs, start Facebook and Twitter accounts, publish ads, letters to the editor, or simply post comments online to try to fool you into thinking an independent or grassroots movement is speaking. The whole point of AstroTurf is to try to give the impression there's widespread support for or against an agenda when there's not. AstroTurf seeks to manipulate you into changing your opinion by making you feel as if you're an outlier when you're not. One example is the Washington Redskins name. Without taking a position on the controversy, if you simply were looking at news media coverage over the course of the past year or looking at social media, you'd probably have to conclude that most Americans find that name offensive and think it ought to be changed. But what if I told you 71% of Americans say the name should not be changed? That's more than two-thirds. AstroTurfers seek to controversialize those who disagree with them. They attack news organizations that publish stories they don't like, whistleblowers who tell the truth, politicians who dare to ask the tough questions, and journalists who have the audacity to report on all of it. Sometimes AstroTurfers simply shove intentionally so much confusing and conflicting information into the mix that you're left to throw up your hands and disregard all of it, including the truth. Drown out a link between a medicine and a harmful side effect, say vaccines and autism, by throwing a bunch of conflicting paid-for studies, surveys, and experts into the mix, confusing the truth beyond recognition. And then there's Wikipedia. AstroTurf's dream come true. Billed as the free encyclopedia that anyone can edit, the reality can't be more different. Anonymous Wikipedia editors control and co-opt pages on behalf of special interests. They forbid and reverse edits that go against their agenda. They skew and delete information in blatant violation of Wikipedia's own established policies with impunity, always superior to the poor schlubs who actually believe anyone can edit Wikipedia, only to discover they're barred from correcting even the simplest factual inaccuracies. Try adding a footnoted fact or correcting a fact error on one of these monitored Wikipedia pages and poof, sometimes within a matter of seconds, you'll find your edit is reversed. In 2012, famed author Philip Roth tried to correct a major fact error about the inspiration behind one of his book characters cited on a Wikipedia page. But no matter how hard he tried, Wikipedia's editors wouldn't allow it. They kept reverting the edits back to the false information. When Roth finally reached a person at Wikipedia, which was no easy task, and tried to find out what was going wrong, they told him he simply was not considered a credible source on himself. A few weeks later, there was a huge scandal when Wikipedia officials got caught offering a PR service that skewed and edited information on behalf of paid, publicity-seeking clients in utter opposition to Wikipedia's supposed policies. All of this may be why, when a medical study looked at medical conditions described on Wikipedia pages and compared it to actual peer-reviewed published research, Wikipedia contradicted medical research 90% of the time. You may never fully trust what you read on Wikipedia again, nor should you. Let's now go back to that fictitious Kalextra example and all the research you did. It turns out the Facebook and Twitter accounts you found that were so positive were actually written by paid professionals hired by the drug company to promote the drug. The Wikipedia page had been monitored by an agenda editor also paid by the drug company. The drug company also arranged to optimize Google search engine results, so it was no accident that you stumbled across that positive nonprofit that had all those positive comments. The nonprofit was, of course, secretly founded and funded by the drug company. The drug company also financed that positive study and used its power of editorial control to omit any mention of cancer as a possible side effect. Once more, each and every doctor who publicly touted Kalextra or called the cancer link a myth or ridiculed critics as paranoid cranks and quacks or served on the government advisory board that approved the drug, each of those doctors is actually a paid consultant for the drug company. As for your own doctor, the medical lecture he attended that had all those positive evaluations was, in fact, like many continuing medical education classes, sponsored by the drug company. And when the news reported on that positive study, it didn't mention any of that. I have tons of personal examples from real life. A couple of years ago, CBS News asked me to look into a story about a study coming out from the nonprofit National Sleep Foundation. Supposedly, this press release coming out said, "The study concluded we are a nation with an epidemic of sleeplessness and we don't even know it, and we should all go ask our doctors about it." A couple of things struck me about that. First, I recognized the phrase "ask your doctor" as a catchphrase promoted by the pharmaceutical industry. They know that if they can get your foot through the door of the doctor's office to mention a malady, you're very likely to be prescribed the latest drug that's marketed. Second, I wondered how serious an epidemic of sleeplessness could really be if we don't even know that we have it. Right? It didn't take long for me to do a little research and discover that the National Sleep Foundation nonprofit and the study, which was actually a survey, not a study, were sponsored in part by a new drug that was about to be launched onto the market called Lunesta, a sleeping pill. I reported the study as CBS News asked, but of course I disclosed the sponsorship behind the nonprofit and the survey so that viewers could weigh the information accordingly. All the other news media reported the same survey directly off the press release as written without digging past the superficial. It later became an example written up in the Columbia Journalism Review, which quite accurately reported that only we at CBS News had bothered to do a little bit of research and disclose the conflict of interest behind this widely reported survey. So now you may be thinking, what can I do? I thought I'd done my research. What chance do I have separating fact from fiction, especially if seasoned journalists with years of experience can be so easily fooled? Well, I have a few strategies that I can tell you about to help you recognize signs of propaganda and astroturf. Once you start to know what to look for, you'll begin to recognize it everywhere. First, hallmarks of astroturf include use of inflammatory language such as crank, quack, nutty, lies, paranoid, pseudo, and conspiracy. Astroturfers often claim to debunk myths that aren't myths at all. Use of the charged language tests well. People hear something's a myth, maybe they find it on Snopes, and they instantly declare themselves too smart to fall for it. But what if the whole notion of the myth is itself a myth, and you and Snopes fell for that? Beware when interests attack an issue by controversializing or attacking the people, personalities, and organizations surrounding it rather than addressing the facts. That could be astroturf. And most of all, astroturfers tend to reserve all of their public skepticism for those exposing wrongdoing rather than the wrongdoers. In other words, instead of questioning authority, they question those who question authority. You might start to see things a little more clearly. It's kind of like taking off your glasses and wiping them and putting them back on and realizing for the first time how foggy they'd been all along. I can't resolve these issues, but I hope that I've given you some information that will at least motivate you to take off your glasses and wipe them and become one.
Cheryl Atkinson. Well, you see, there are a lot of people now who are coming forward once I wrote these articles challenging Wikipedia, which was a sacred cow, and found that there are hundreds of people, like Rupert Sheldrake, many others, who have been attacked and had no opportunity whatsoever to correct the mistakes. As you heard her say, they go against their own rules. Anyone in this audience who has been attacked by Wikipedia, you think unfairly so, you've tried to resolve the issue and you couldn't get anywhere, now you're beginning to understand why. Read the articles I have written with Richard Gale. We have five of them up there, and we have a whole lot more to come. And please share these. Go to prn.fm and share them with everyone that you know. Let's spread the word. And by the way, a lot of people are listening. In fact, we just got a new rating that showed that there's a service that represents almost 11,000 radio stations around the world, and they carry Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Michael Savage, Alex Jones, Gary Newman, people on the left and right. We represent 23% of all that 11,000. It's huge. So we got a lot of people who are progressive who want to hear the truth, not simply align behind a ideological stance. On the phone now is Kevin Shipp from down in Tampa. Kevin, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, is a former CIA officer. And Kevin... Kevin is the host of the Intelligence Hour. It can be heard on the Progressive Radio Network every Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nice to have you with us today, Kevin.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Kevin, you've drawn a sharp distinction between what is being called the deep state from the shadow government, although the two are intimately intertwined. And while the shadow government is tightly bound as a web or a network of entities mostly connected with the CIA and national security and many intelligence agencies, all bound to secrecy with its own laws, the laws of what they call national security, and it operates outside of Congress and the Constitution. On the other hand, the deep state includes Wall Street, the Treasury and Federal Reserve, private defense contractors and foreign think tanks and lobbying groups. And the entities in the deep state, too, have their own code of secrecy they follow, like the Bilderbergs. When candidate Obama and candidate Clinton both attended the Bilderberg conference on the same night, would not discuss what they talked about. You also have the CIA funding organization, the Council on Foreign Relations, and they're preeminent. And so here are the different groups, and yet they're all, in my opinion, in violation of the Constitution and Bill of Rights. But finally, I am challenging the entire Democratic liberal media. I'm challenging Pacifica, many of its programs. I'm challenging for censorship and being so corporate Democrat favorable. I'm challenging the conservative media, the right. But let me be more specific. From Fox and all the other conservative media, National Review, etc., they're mute on the real nature of the deep state. They're not calling out the hate groups. There's no criticism of abuse stories within the Christian evangelical right. They don't challenge the budget or tax cuts. There's a faux definition of patriotism. It's conflated with Christian beliefs and Tea Party demands and radical nationalism. There's denial of health care. There's just denial, quite simply, it's just mind-boggling, of clean food, of basic human rights, of water. And they are pro-GMO, pro-deregulation of industries that destroy our essential needs to live. And they do not believe that water and food are a universal right. They're climate change denialist, hence their apologetic support for polluting industries from fracking and nuclear power, coal and fossil fuel. Hence, this is faux patriotism. Their criticism of constitutional rights to free speech, and yet they will claim that free speech should be reframed as being unpatriotic. For example, they're the ones critical of the NFL players using their freedom to show they're protesting something, or Black Lives Matter, or Occupy Wall Street. When their freedom is abridged in any way, I would support that shouldn't happen. But when they see other people's freedom of choice being engaged, they don't see that in the same way as applying to themselves. They're constantly supporting regime change, rarely here for non-intervention foreign policies, like Ron Paul and certain libertarians, like Gary Johnson, don't believe in that. They excuse misogyny and denigration of women. They constantly are angry at money going to average people who need it, but have nothing to say about the military-industrial complex or other major industries receiving huge amounts of money. Their gross demonization of Russia, China, Iran, and Syria. They're completely absent of any anti-war voice. They have historically been without tolerance to the LGBT community and other races. They are silent about the real state of affairs in Yemen and Gaza. Have you seen Michael Savage? Have you seen Laura Ingraham? Have you seen Glenn Beck? Have you seen any of these individuals asking their listeners to join them in public protest about Yemen? 10 million people living in Yemen are estimated to die over the next 7 months due to starvation. 10 million. and yet it's nowhere on the news. They have unwavering support of Israel. It's pathological. They do not want to see the truth of Netanyahu or the plight of the Palestinians. You've never seen Sean Hannity will brag about going down to the border and being in the tunnels and all that. That's good, Sean, but why aren't you for freedom of choice when it comes to person using drugs and decriminalized drugs? Therefore, you wouldn't need those. You wouldn't have all these people coming who are frequently coming from war zones based upon drug cartels. There's just a simple-mindedness, as if these people had a lobotomy each day before they go up and do their broadcast. There's no way of talking with them. They're just radically monotheistic. And they support a police state. They're sympathetic towards all policemen, including those who murder and the racist thugs such as Sheriff Arpaio, who Trump pardoned. And they're really the mouthpiece for the continuing war on terror. Now, that's the conservative and right, but equally bad and equally disdainful and equally repulsive is the entire corporate Democrat, Obama, Clinton, liberal machine. They're mute on the reality of the effects of the deep state and who they are because they frequently are associated with it, like the Council on Foreign Relations. They're influenced by the cult of scientism, especially regarding health and medicine. They're clueless on alternative healing and support GMOs. There's corporatization of traditional left stances such as neoliberal economics and free trade. They still espouse a pseudo-trickle-down economic theory, but not as literal as Reagan's theory still held on to by Fox and conservative media, which has no truth. They support regime change. You did not see the left standing up and casting out Obama and Hillary for their terror tactics in Yemen and Libya. Oh, and by the way, I just posted a phenomenal set of photographs taken shortly before the invasion by NATO and Clinton and Obama of Libya. And now you'll see why it was called the Paris of Africa, the most prosperous country in that part of the world and all 54 countries in Africa. Now take a look at it. No one on the left has apologized, and the corporate left has apologized for that genocide. And that's what it is. They demonize Russia, China, Iran, Syria, just like the right media. There's no concerted anti-war voice, which had historically been the hallmark of the left. They're unwavering and kissing the ass of everyone from Israel. And yet you didn't see Obama or Clinton or any of the other people from that administration going into Israel and spending time in in the West Bank or Gaza. And the left does condemn torture unless you're in the White House, in which case then it's still considered all right. And yet it's a crime against humanity. The left historically would never have approved bombings and drones and have a kill list on Tuesday, but then it changed. They're less silent than the right media about the real state of affairs in Yemen. They might mention it, but they won't attack the United States for being a part of it. They are faux feminine. They are faux equality. They have relaxed their stance on war on drugs, but they have not only on marijuana, but they have made no effort to decriminalize it at all, which they could have done. And there's no clear definition of what patriotism is. But they criticize the right view of patriotism. Well, show me your view of patriotism. So, to my mind, curse on the left and the right. They're both worthless. Your thoughts, please.
Yeah, Gary, I think that's true. I don't think now with the shadow government and the deep state, there really is no unique Republican or Democratic parties or candidates or presidents. They get in office and they become one and the same because they become part of the system. And they either secretly held those views before they were elected or the system works on them in the first year or two, and they become a part of that system. And we see our very elected officials become a part of the shadow government deep state that has circumvented our Constitution. It circumvented our elected process. It completely controls and manipulates the U.S. Congress and the Senate. And that is on that is both parties. That is both Democrat and Republican, which is shocking to anyone in either one of those parties. But it is absolutely the truth, and that's one of the problems we have today. It's almost like an internal Cold War where we have especially the secret intelligence agencies and their power of secrecy and the deep state with its money and greed literally running our country, running and manipulating our elected government, and completely overriding the votes of the American people. That's how serious this is. That's how serious the constitutional crisis we're in is. And the people's voice has been muddled and muffled, and it no longer really matters in Washington. When you have members of Congress that are given $700,000 a year, in this case from the military-industrial complex, like John McCain and others, they tend to vote in favor of Northrop Grumman, Boeing, Booz Allen, and all these other warmongering companies. They'll vote in favor of them because they're putting hundreds of thousands of dollars of money in their pocket. And it goes on and on. It's obviously relatively complex, but that's what's happening. We're in a constitutional crisis because of the state of our own government right now, and the power of the shadow government and the deep state has become so extensive, so pervasive, and now millions and millions of Americans are working for the shadow government and deep state and subsequently are bound by what is called a secrecy oath, a secrecy agreement, which also affects their families and their extended families. So not one of millions of Americans, whether they see these things or not, are going to say anything because they're threatened with prison. So this is a very, very serious situation. You made a lot of very, very good points. The innocent suffer. They put people in prison, young teenagers. I heard of a 23-year-old who was given a life sentence for having marijuana. I think it was a small amount of marijuana. And he's in jail probably for the rest of his life until somebody wises up and corrects this injustice. They're innocent people that have been put in jail for minor drug offenses when murderers walk in 4 years, rapists get out in 4 to 6 years, and some of them even get out in 3 years. And minor drug offenders are kept, some of these kids, for 5, 10 years or longer. It's outrageous.
Kevin, it is my belief, studying the history of the FBI and the CIA and the National Security Agency, is that they have always had a community that considers themselves above the law. No one's ever been held accountable for crimes against humanity, for all the assassinations,
right,
for all the jackals. I consider these organizations to be degenerate and immoral. You were in it. Your thoughts?
Yes, yeah. I was a CIA counterintelligence officer and a human intelligence collection officer. And, of course, I'm not surprised at all by what's going on. Espionage itself is a dark underworld, and it's run and its fuel is secrecy. It's got no morals. It has absolutely no regard for the Constitution. It considers itself above that and beyond that. I've seen that personally. Billions of dollars, our tax dollars, in secret budgets that we know nothing about, are used to control the elected government, penetrate businesses, plant informants, and there are informants all across this country. Millions of them that are planted in businesses and other places, political groups and others. They start foreign wars. They run guns with impunity. And the biggest gun runner in the world is, guess what? Us, the United States. They've engaged the leaders, at least the people I work for, and I think it's gotten even worse. The leaders in the senior positions, especially in the CIA and the NSA and the FBI, if you wanted to sum them up, I guess a good word would be narcissists. They are bloodthirsty for their careers above everything else. They literally consider themselves more intelligent than your average person out there. I witnessed that personally. Some of them even come right out and say it. Lying to the American people by this version of the shadow government, in this case, is a way of doing business. That's what they do. That's who they are. They think their excuse is their definition of national security. And their definition of national security is not your and my definition of national security. Their definition of national security is protecting their dynasty at all costs. And worst of all, the shadow government, especially the CIA and the NSA, have caused Americans to be afraid of them, to fear them. And this fear is their greatest weapon. Most people will not challenge the CIA. They will not challenge the FBI and the NSA for fear of retribution. And that retribution has happened. Believe me, I know. So that's out there. So that is this dark cabal that's maybe just one level above an adder that is out there that is controlling our entire government at this point. It is so pervasive, so massive, so well-funded secretly with our money that's stopping it. The only way is like you and I are doing, is to come out publicly, expose this, and let people know what is going on. We can start there with education and then a grassroots national movement to stop this and hopefully get our Constitution back. It's going to take work and it's going to take courage to do it.
Thank you for that insight. A question that I've never heard asked in conservatives, or conversations, I mean, about the shadow government or the CIA is, what does it want for the country? What is the America it wants to see emerge in the future? One view is that the CIA can't threaten American interests because the CIA defines America's interest. Is this a true statement?
Yes, it is. The CIA does define American interest, and many times, if not most of the time, the CIA defines those interests based on the interests of major U.S. corporations. For example, Syria. If there is an oil pipeline, gas pipeline, or natural resources in Syria, which is a prime example, this has probably happened 20 or 30 times in CIA operations, then business wants those minerals, those assets, that gas and oil, so the CIA will invent a reason to go in and upset that government so the troops can come in and remove them and gain control over that government. It was the case with Iran. Believe it or not, Iran was thrown into a tailspin by the CIA, which implemented an operation which overthrew a duly elected Iranian government, put in its puppet government with the Shah, which eventually was overthrown. And what we're seeing in Iran now is the result of a CIA operation engaged in the very beginning to get into Iran, because Iran has a lot of oil that it was controlling on its own and keeping the control from the international community. That is what the CIA is. That is what the CIA has been doing. That is its nature. That is how it functions. It will never change. That is its structure. It'll continue to do that today. And as I mentioned, Syria is a prime example.
One final comment. The only positive thing that I've seen happen with the Trump administration is that he created such an atmosphere of paranoia with the deep state players that they, for the first time, actually showed their hands. Mueller, Comey, the FBI, the Justice Department, the Attorney General, a whole cast of characters went over a boundary. They touched that third rail of not just despising the man and fearing what he might do that they couldn't control. They knew that Clintons are controlled. Everybody right on Wall Street loves the Clintons and the military-industrial complex because they're predictable. Now, right, of course, the liberals who voted for him didn't understand. What in the hell are you thinking of when every corporation in America is supporting Hillary Clinton, the government agencies, the military-industrial complex, yeah, Wall Street, Big Pharma, Monsanto, everybody who is bad is supporting someone, and you don't see that maybe there's something there you're not aware of? What kind of intentional ignorance is that? But they couldn't understand Trump, so they've overextended themselves. Now they got themselves into a pickle. What do you see happening from how they have tried to bring Trump down and overstep themselves?
Yes, those are good points, and a lot of people don't know that the CIA was a big supporter of the Clintons, the Clinton election, the Clinton Foundation. Also, senior FBI officials were also connected to that. So this is beyond political parties. It's a matter of power. It's a matter of greed, corporate greed, and even going beyond that into globalism. But with Donald Trump, and we all agree he's a very unique individual. He's way out of the box. He says things we all have to kind of scratch our heads. The fact is, though, the shadow government especially knows that he is not controllable. He can't be bought. His personality type is one where he can't be intimidated or placed in fear about his next election, which they usually control. So what is happening here is we're seeing the shadow government terrified of Donald Trump, not because of his political views or his personality, but they're terrified because he is bringing them out, or the administration, or just these circumstances are bringing them out into the light for the first time the American people are seeing. visually seeing the shadow government, what the CIA has done that are violations of Title 18 codes, what the FBI has done in violation of Title 18 codes, these are all felonies that these people have committed. John Brennan, what John Brennan has done, his leaks to the media and creating false intelligence. This is all hanging out in the open right now because Donald Trump, this interesting, unique individual, gets elected, and for the first time, this has not happened since JFK. The shadow government, specifically the CIA, has not been targeting a president or against a president since John F. Kennedy. This is the first time this has happened since then.
And that was, of course, the Dulles brothers who were behind that, and J.
That's right.
Hoover, both
That's
the CIA,
right.
which he was head of, and then the FBI, which Hoover was head of. Kevin, thank you for giving us some insight here. Kevin can be heard every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Intelligence Hour. You can also go to prn.fm, download his shows. And Kevin, good news, another whistleblower from the National Security Agency, from the CIA, is starting next week on with a new program.
Fantastic. Great. There's another one of us. That's awesome.
Mr. Carrico. He is.
John. Well, yes, John. John's a good man. He'll be very good.
In fact, we have three former CIA whistleblowers, yourself included, who are telling the truth. And by the way, the audiences are terrific. They're really supportive. Thank you very much for all the good work you're doing, and you're having the courage to come forward and tell the truth, Kevin.
Always a pleasure, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Kevin Shipp. That's S-H-I-P-P. I'm Gary Null. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice day.
Walk with me. Take my hand.